I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who came to the earth, the one who came to show us how to live, but he realized that it was not possible for us to live that life without him dying for us. And not only he died for us, but he raised from the dead. And after he went to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to us so we could live the life that he wants us to live for him. Just like Tim says, my name is, many people call me Jean Harold, which is easier for them. But in French, my name is Jean Harold Felisma. It's kind of difficult for me to quick introduce myself here because a lot of my topic will be about my culture and myself and different things. My name is Jean-Éwald Felisma, and I live in Lebanon, PA. But even before I start my topic today, when I was thinking about talking about my culture in Haiti and this culture here, I wanted to ask you a question to know how I should go about it. And I know your answer is not really gonna make a difference in how I talk, but I would like to know who am I really dealing with. So how many of you here really like to hear the truth? When I say the truth, I'm not just talking about the Bible. I'm just talking about the truth that Ed has a pair of black shoes here. If I tell you that you have a pair of white shoes here, you need to tell me no. I need to tell you the truth. It's black. How many of you really like when people tell you the truth? If you do, I would like you to raise your hands. And don't raise it like this. You just tell me you like half the truth. Okay, I am happy that I see. I think all of you raise your hand, so now I am free. I'm free to tell the truth. So my name is Jayewal, and I was born and raised in the country of Haiti. So the first time I was out of my country, I can say I'm a real Haitian because the first time I was out of my country, I was 25. And 25, so if you have an idea about Haiti, Haiti is an island. What back in the day they would call it Hispaniola. It's an island that is divided into two. So we have the Haitian port, the Haitian side, and the Dominican Republic side. The first time I was in the DR, I was 25. So I spent most of my life in Haiti. And in 2015, I was also in. I visited the U.S. for the first time. So as a child, my parents took me to church. Before we go to bed, my parents would have had devotion with us, and I remember how after praying, all of us would have to quote a verse. So because my parents went to church with me, for the first 8 years of my school life, they sent me to a Christian school where they would have taught me a lot about God. There are lots of things that I know. It's not because Yes, I read the Bible. Yes, I like reading the Bible, but it's not because I read the Bible that I know these things. I knew lots of stories from growing up, from listening from sitting at Sunday school or in at school. They would have chapel with us twice a week. So I over those years, I've learned a lot about God. Now, knowing all these things about God, did that make me a Christian? No, they did not. Yes, I would say, by listening to these things, early in my life, I had a certain fear of God. And I had a lot of knowledge about God, and I had a certain fear of God. But I was not a Christian. I did things that I shouldn't have done. I remember telling my parents some lies, especially when you're trying to, when you don't want to get spanked for being naughty. I remember my parents went somewhere for, my dad went to have a surgery, and we were supposed to stay at home, and my brother, my older brother and I went to play soccer because we liked it a lot. And it was right after a hurricane where we were playing was not the safest, and I ended up falling. And now, what do you tell your parents? My brother, I'm not saying, I'm not blaming it. He did wrong, but I'm not trying to put the, to say that he is the one who really made me do it. But between the two of us, we decided that instead of telling my parents that I fall playing soccer, we say, you are going to say, we went to get water. It was slippery. Yes, there was a hurricane. You fell, and now your arm is not doing the greatest. And I told my parents, and they agreed right away. And I involved in lots of things that I shouldn't have. But I got to a point where I realized that, yes, I know all these things, but I'm not a Christian. And at around the age of 13, 14, I decided that I'm going to become a Christian. And there was, I remember there was a revival meeting at my church where they were talking about the prodigal son. And I knew that I gave my life to God. Though it was kind of something that happened gradually, but I know the kind of life that I lived before I was 14 and the kind of life that I started living after I was 14, 15, 16, it was a different life. And being a, I can tell you, being a Christian, no, going to church in Haiti is a cool thing to do. Why don't you go to church? It's Sunday, so why don't you go to church? You know, all these young men, so they go to church, so just stay at home. You're a bad boy. But there is a big difference between being a Christian, living a Christian life, I would say between going to church and living a Christian life. Going to church, you're okay. But living a Christian life, you're not okay. Because you are going to deal with lots. They are going to tease you. They are going to give you all kinds of names. Names that are enough for you to realize that I don't want to be a Christian anymore because it's too much for me. So at 14 years old, I went to a private, I mean, after 14 years, the Christian school that I used to go to, I could not go there anymore because they didn't have the rest of the grades. And for some reason, I went to a public school, which academically, it was the best. It was probably the best school of the community. But it was not, morally, it was not the best school. Now, here you are, being willing to live a Christian life, and you are under the pressure of even the people who go to church with you, the pressure of the people who would have to encourage you, but they are the one that are teasing you. He is a pastor. But over time, so what I learned in life, what you need to do, there are times you know that what you're doing is right. You know. It doesn't matter. When you are in this situation, you are not too settled because you know this is the right way. What you need to do is choosing to keep going no matter what they say. I am going to do what I know that I have to do. So I got to a point where it's not that life became easier, but they knew where I stood. And they knew that this man is not going to, he's not going to give up. And now when they have their stories, if I'm around, depends on what it is, they are not going to talk about that. Because they know that this man is not gonna, he's not gonna want to be part of it, and he will, if he has something to say, he will say it. And they let me go. And I can tell you that school had easily had about 1,500 students. And the amount of Christians that you had in that school was really few. Now, if you're talking about churchgoers, there were lots of them. But the amount of Christian that you had at that school was really few. But to give you an idea about, yes, being a Christian in Haiti, but to give you an idea about what culture we have in Haiti, you don't come to school here, but you're going to hear a little bit of history about Haiti. So Haiti, before Christopher Columbus uncovered that country in 1492, they called it Haiti, the land that some Indian people live. They called those Indians Tainos. So the Tainos, the people who were living there, had their own laid-back culture. Those people, some people could call them lazy, but it was just their culture. They fished and they'd find some food to eat and they laid on their hammock and have a good life. But when Christopher Columbus came and he realized that, oh, this land, there is a lot of gold in it. Before I keep going, not only they had their own laid-back culture, but they had their own god too. They worship an idol called Zemis. That means this is what they were worship. But when Christopher Columbus came, he realized that there's a lot of gold in this country. And in order to subdue those people, he came, unfortunately, with his own religion, which was the Catholicism, unfortunately. Now, here are these Indian guys who were worshiping Zemis, who introduced another religion. They didn't just let the Zemis go and embrace Catholicism. They mixed these things. Now, you have a mixed religion. Now, Christopher Columbus realizes that there's a lot of gold in this country. We're going to do our best. So he enslaved the Indians to work. Now, here were those guys that didn't used to work hard. They had to work in the gold mine to ship them to Spain. And now, those Indians, they died by thousands. It didn't take long for the Spaniards to realize that, oh, you know, we don't have enough manpower here to work. What are we gonna do? They decided that we are going to Africa. We are going to Africa. We'll buy some solid men, some men that don't have any problem working in the sun, so they are strong. In Africa, we have lots of sun, and we have sun in Haiti. They will do good. And they went to Africa and they bought some very solid men, you know, over the summer. Try to find a good Haitian man. You will see how good he can do in the sun. He doesn't get tired, he just keep going. So they went to Africa and got those people, ship them to Haiti, and they did good working in the gold mine. But they also went with their own religion. Now you have the Zemis religion, you have the Catholicism, and you had that culture from that religion from Haiti, from Africa, from what I read, that was the voodoo. You have three of them. It's a mix of religion, right? And on that little island. And I can tell you to this very day, we have a mixed religion in Haiti. Where to the point that I was talking to Tim this morning, if you tell a Haitian if you are a Christian, he will feel insulted. He will say, oh, I'm living, I'm a Christian. When you say a Christian in Haiti, many times you have to explain yourself because the person doesn't know what we're talking about, because all of us are Catholic. We are Christian, even if we go to church only when there is something to do in the Catholic Church, but we are Christian. So this is the kind of religion, this is the spiritual setting in Haiti. So now, in order for a Christian, the life that we find in the Bible, the life that we find from the Holy Spirit, in order for you to live a Christian life there, you need to be ready. And even if you become a Christian, if you are not ready to spend time in the Word, you are going to be a churchgoer. Because the system is so difficult, you're gonna get lost. And unfortunately, many people are in that system. They go to church, they are baptized, and they may even be church they are church members, they may even be church leaders, but they are still involved in the system of a mixed religion. And there are things I didn't know if it were like that until I started working for Christian Aid Ministry as an interpreter. I realized how naive I was, because I was thinking we had a better church system in Haiti. I thought that the spirituality of our country was better, but when I started meeting all kinds of men coming from different parts of the country, I realized, really? This is what we have in this country? So with this mixed religion, it makes the spirituality very difficult in Haiti. But I can tell you, this is not the only thing we have. So Haiti has its own culture. So when I think about the Haitian culture in itself, there are very good things about the Haitian culture. So the good things that we have in the Haitian culture make me, I mean, being in the States, I miss some of them sometimes. A Haitian won't walk past you easily without greeting you. If he pass back, he may not greet you again, but he will tell you something to make you know that he notices you. The Haitian have a sense of humor, and Haitian like to share what they have with each other. And though Haiti is considered a poor country, you would have to be surprised to see how much Haitian like to, if they know that you have a problem, they will be willing to somehow help you. But at the same time, there are things, even it's my culture, there are things that don't really make sense to me. Just like some Haitian, they really like helping you, but at the same time, when you are moving forward financially, or socially, they can get really jealous. And many times you will know it. They are not happy. But I think one of the reasons why it's like that, it's because, you know, we used to be slaves. So we always wanted to be the top man, the man who would lead others. So now here is this man who I used to be on top of him, and he is moving forward financially or socially. He's a threat to me. You know what I mean? So this is kind of the culture that we have in Haiti. But one thing that I want you to understand, I am not, as a Christian, when I look at the Haitian culture, I am going to embrace the good things about the culture. And I'm going to say that, you know, this one, I can't be part of it as a Haitian, because it will not please God. I can't do this because it's against the Bible. One, there are different things in the culture that as a Christian you can't do. One thing that Haitians do that as Christian I realize it can't be part of my life, and it's a shame. So if you meet a Haitian in the middle of 10 women, you will have a hard time knowing which of them is his wife, because he may be touching more than one, to the extent that he, at the moment, his wife may be there, but he's not touching his wife at all, but he's touching different ladies. And somehow it's part of the culture. Some people don't really care about it. To them, it's okay. But as a Christian, is that something you should be doing too? Even if it's in your culture? To me, it is good to stay away. So, not only touching ladies, but I realize as in the culture, because Haiti is considered as a poor country, and we have people that are doing good in Haiti, but as a whole, Haiti is a poor country. So in order for you to go ahead in life, depends on who you are, many times, because of the system, you are almost pushed to get into corruption. It may not be big, but it may be a little lie, which in itself, it's the culture. This is the way the country operates. Is it good? No, I'm not saying it's good. But it's the culture. As a Christian, I shouldn't be criticizing those people, because they are under another kingdom. They are under the devil. The devil is leading them. What I need to do, so I need to ask myself, as a Christian, what am I going to do with the corruption that people have in the country? So after spending 7 years at the public school, between me and my parents, I was going to study in France, but in between that time, the time that I was done with school to the time that I would be ready to go to France, I went to Port-au-Prince to do some study on custom. I was going to study something to be a customs officer, which there was a place close to my house that I could do some work there or something, just in case I would not go to France. So I went to live with a relative, with my dad's relative, and right after I got there, for some reason, I made a mistake. I made a mistake where I agreed to be part of an organization that he had without knowing a lot about the organization. And after I was part of the organization, I realized that, you know, as a Christian, I can't be part of that organization, because what they did, they tried to build the organization, they tried to say that the organization is older than it actually is. They said it is older than it actually is, so that they could so that the government could finance them with some grants where they could build things, where they could make the community nicer. But if you agree to say that the organization is older than it actually is, When the money comes, what do you think? Well, what do you think is going to happen? Oh, I struggled a lot to know. I knew exactly what I should do, but I struggled a lot to know how to do it. And to me, I was not going to say I'm not part of the organization anymore without saying why. Now, many of you may say, why do you need to say why? Sometimes I think we need to be men enough to face the problem. If we say we are not, if I say I'm not part of it anymore, I don't really do anything. So I say I'm not going to be part of this organization anymore because there is a lie in that organization. And the man agreed. He was my relative, he agreed, but it was during the night. The next morning, he came to me and he said, you know, you say that we have lie in the organization, but you know, you're learning to be, you're going to be a customs officer. People, customs officer, they tell a lot, they tell lie a lot. I agree, but you don't have to tell lie. You can do a good job. It may be hard. Okay, so he kind of let me go. And I had to go home. I had to go home for Christmas, so I went home. When I came back, they started living the kind of life that we used to live with each other became very different to the extent. It was different. But later on, I would even bring something at the house so that I didn't just have to live off what they are doing. I had to share. I had to give some money or give something in the house so that I did something, so that I didn't need to just eat their food and everything. Sometimes they started cooking without offering anything to me, but at the moment I had some money, so I just buy food on the road and ate. But I got to a point where I said, you know, those people, if they are cooking without offering any food to me, what if something happened to me in the middle of the night? Will they help me out? And I realized that, you know, I need to tell my parents what's going on. And I talked to my parents, talked to my siblings about it. They say, you can't live there. And I decided that I'm going back home. It was not an easy decision for me to tell him why I want to leave the organization, and it cost me the price of a school year, where I lost the school year. But I can tell you, I was really happy that I did that, because I don't know where, as a Christian, I don't know where I would have, I don't know where that organization would have taken me. And I can tell you, being a Christian in Haiti, I dealt because of where I stood, because of who I wanted to be. I dealt with lots of things that were really difficult. I remember touching ladies. I remember there was a time I was talking to two girls, and we were having a nice conversation, and there was a man who came, and I was there. He didn't really care about me, but he started touching the girls, and I said, it shouldn't be this way, because unfortunately, we went to the same church, and all of us, I mean, me, him, and the two girls were part of the church, were church members. I told him, it's not supposed to be like this. And I found myself in a difficult situation, because the men didn't understand. The men think it was fine. The two girls at the beginning thought it was fine. Some of the people that were close by who were church members were thinking it was fine for him to do that. Now, I, as the only man, what should I do if all the church members think it's fine? So I should be the problem. So they talking. I try to focus on those two girls that I was talking to. I try to tell them. So here is The man comes here. I am here. He doesn't really care about me. And he's touching you like this. Why? Is he doing all this? And the girls got to a point where they said, you know, you're all right. He is doing it for a reason. And from what I understand, people kept talking. Back then I was a single. They kept talking and say, you know, this man, he's not even going to get married. He's not going to have a wife. But I believe as a Christian man, just because you want to get married doesn't mean that you need to be touching all the ladies on the road. And in Haiti, the culture is, you know, you try to be friends to everybody. I would say it's a friendly culture. Now, you may hear in Port-au-Prince there are lots of bad things that happens, but if you would go to the country, Haiti is a very friendly culture. But at the same time, sexually, it's a shame. People don't behave. I remember going somewhere and I was in the middle of a bunch of young people and we met a girl and we were having good time on the road talking and that girl for some reason told me, you know, I want to give you something. Okay, so she wants to give me something. What is it? I don't know. So later on, I realized that this girl wants to give me something that I should not have. I talked to my friend about it. I told him, you know, that girl told me that she will give me something. Here is what I realized she wants to give me. My friend told me, John Hill, you know, walk away from that girl. Because I don't even need to tell you what she wanted to give me. And in the Haitian culture, there is a way that you, to be friendly to somebody, you can see a man, you say, oh, brother Ed, what do you want to give me? Which is not always smart to say because you can get yourself in trouble. So there was a time I had a sister who had a friend. I was walking and I was talking to somebody and I saw that friend, which was a lady. I say, oh, but I had respect for that lady because she was somehow older than me. I said, what are you going to give to me? And she told me, I'm going to give you. She literally said, I'm going to give you sex. So that person that I was talking to, she didn't really know that I was in a hurry. So now when that lady said, I'm going to give you this, I say, see you. I say, see you, and I walk away. So these are some of the things that you, as a Christian, can deal with in Haiti. And you have a choice. You going to keep living for the Lord, or you going to live according to the culture. But those same people that are offering all these things to you, as a Christian, if you choose to walk away from God, they can preach you because they know. Many of them know what you should do as a Christian. But I can tell you from my culture, just like I tell you, there are good things about the culture, there are bad things, but as a Christian, you need to know who you are. And I think it's the same thing for you as American living here. It's the same thing for you, not only American, it's the same thing for you as Mennonite living here. I believe that you will never really have a culture that is Christian. Now, Ed may have his house. He may have a Christian culture at the house. But in order for that culture to be a Christian culture, they need to understand that their lives need to be under the ownership of Christ. Otherwise, the Christian culture that you have at your house is just going to be a form of godliness. It will not be a Christian culture. Because you may have a you may think that you have a Christian culture, but what about your heart? Your culture is not really going to change your heart. Your culture is going to make you walk according to the culture. But when the time comes where where your dad didn't teach you this, there is something that your dad didn't teach you, your culture is not going to tell you that you can't do it. And sometimes, depends on how you are, depends on how you are used to the culture, you may be okay living a certain way in this country, but when you get to another country, because it was just a culture, because it was not Christianity, because you were not a Christian, the real you is going to show. And I can tell you, I realize the culture that we have in Haiti is not Christian at all. It's bad. But when I think, going from that culture, Haiti, coming to start talking about this culture now, which is the plain people culture, I want to tell you there are lots of things that I enjoy from your culture. So even in Haiti, I was really happy to meet some very solid men. I met some very solid men like Stanley Fox, a good father. He calls me his son. I met lots of good men. I met a man by the name of Leroy. He's from Lancaster County. One thing that there was a time that man went to Haiti for 2 weeks. He spent 2 weeks in my community. When he was the day before he left, he came to me. I was with one of my best friends. He came to me. He didn't give me $1,000, but he gave me something that was worth more than $10,000. He came to me. He came to my friend and me. He says, "Don't pollute your mind." And for some reason, I can tell you, he didn't explain what he said. But I can tell you that went in and it did a very good job. I know pornography is a very strong thing in this world. But by the grace of God, I think with that piece of advice, today I can tell you, it's not something that I ever dealt with. Don't pollute your mind. So I met lots of good, plain people in Haiti. And going to Christian Aid, being with Pastor Sinley, being with a man like Dean Schrock, being with lots of solid Christians, I can tell you, they have a very good influence in my life. And coming here to meet different other Christians, people who, by their word or by their lifestyle, I can tell you, I learn a lot from the plain people. And today I know some people can kind of tease me being a Mennonite. But when they tell me that I'm a Mennonite, yes, I know there are lots of things that I do that Mennonite people do that I do. I do them because I live with the Mennonite people. But I can tell you, I really love your culture. And sometimes I wonder if you don't have one of the nicest culture in this world. But I also want you to understand that the culture that you have is really close or is supposed to be a Christian culture. But your parents could be Christian and they practice the Mennonite culture, but once it comes to you, once the Mennonite culture comes to you without the blood of Jesus, without the fear of God, it's just a form of godliness. Just like they talk about it in Second Timothy chapter 3. These are one of the things that you will find. In the last day, people will have a form of godliness. I can tell you, being a Mennonite or practicing the Mennonite culture in many ways can be practicing the Bible. But if you're practicing the Bible without a transformed heart, you're doing nothing. And I can tell you, coming from Haiti, being part of a culture that don't really have to do anything with God, it's easier for me to see how bad I am. It's easier because for Haiti, there are some expressions that they have I would have to explain to you. I am not going there. But for Haiti, to kind of try to see a zero and put a little bar by it to make it a nine is not that bad. So now when I see myself doing that as a Haitian, I can understand better that I need to repent. But if you have a culture that is close to God, that is not really a godly culture, it can make it more difficult to see yourself, to see how you need God. And one thing I want to tell you, I am from a culture. You have your own culture, but as Christians, we should have the same culture. I am supposed to tell the truth, just like you're supposed to tell the truth. I am supposed to love my neighbors, just like you're supposed to love my neighbors. The reason why we need to do it, it's because we have the same Bible. Even if my Bible, I have an English Bible now, but when I get out of bed in the morning, I don't read an English Bible because I have my own language, the language that I know better. I read it in Haitian Creole. But it's the same message. We as Christians need to have the same culture and we need to be under the same ownership of God. Yes, I have met lots of good, solid, plain people, which I mean, I could say who have very good influence on me, but I can tell you, living in a country like the U.S., I also meet some, it's unfortunate, I also meet some plain people who makes me really realize that, you know, no matter what culture you have, you need God. If you don't have God, you're going to have a problem. Because I remember back when I lived in New York, the Finger Lakes, after church, there was a brother who invited us for lunch. And I would say, it's something for you to think about. Sometime after church, I don't think it's bad to talk about some other things, but it is really sad to see how a preacher can preach a very solid message. And right after church, people forget about the message. They start talking about all kinds of things. Okay, anyway, when we were done eating at the brother's house, they started talking about different things, and they started talking about Haiti, who don't have orchards and stuff like that. And there is a former missionary that was there, he says, Haiti is corrupt from top to bottom. I was there. Oh, really? Oh, this is hard. If Haiti is corrupt from top to bottom, I'm probably in the middle, so I'm corrupt. Okay, so I'm a man who talks, but depends on the situation. Sometimes it takes me time to say something, which save me a lot of headaches sometimes. So I didn't tell him anything at that time, but I know in my heart I forgave that man. But I had a problem. The problem that I had, whenever I think about the man, whenever I see the man, I remember that Haiti is corrupt from top to bottom. I am probably in the middle. So it took me months to tell my wife that. And when I told my wife that, my wife said, oh, you know that man, he has a big mouth. So, this is what my wife said, but. And when I think about it, his mouth is not the smallest one in town. So, but I kept thinking about it. And I got to a point where I realized, you know, I don't like the thought. Yes, I forgave him, but I don't like what's going on in my mind. To the point where I called the man and I said, hey, when are you coming to Lancaster County? To Lebanon County? Oh, I'm coming on this. You know, I want to see you. I didn't go there to fight him. I went there to tell him, you know, today I come here to try to have a different, to try to heal my mind from something. Here is something that you said. I know I forgive you, but is that true, what you said? And he acknowledged that. He should have been more careful. And I went home, and now I know, when I think about him, I know he said that, but I think about him. In my mind, I think about them differently. One thing that I think happens, if you are not careful as American, when you go to another country, the U.S. is considered the top country of the world. Sometime, instead of going with the Holy Spirit, instead of going with the Bible, you, without thinking about it, go with the ego. You are not going to have a good influence if you go with the ego. Not only that, I can tell you, yes, I love the culture. And I want you to know that the reason why I ask you if you want the truth, the things that I'm saying, I'm not saying them to try to tell you how miserable I am. I'm not miserable. I'm trying to share my story with you so that you try to do better in life. Because if a man does it, that doesn't mean that you do it too. But it means that you can do it if you're not careful. So, coming to the States, I realized that, you know, yes, I love the plain people culture, and I love the way that they live, but one thing that can happen is that you may be working with a Mennonite person, with a Mennonite man, and he spent 1 month working with you, and we never can have a Christian conversation. Now, when the deer season happened, we can talk about that big buck. Oh, it had 10 antlers. But when the conversation happened, you can hear a lot of and boom, it changes to something else. I don't think in Psalm chapter 1, the Bible talks about how we need to delight in the word of God. How can I delight in something that I don't want to even talk about? So I remember there was a time that I was working with a Mennonite man and another man that didn't even really believe in God. And I was trying, there was a time I wanted to know, I talked to him about God, but there was that one time I didn't really want to talk to him about God, but I wanted to, since he doesn't believe in God, I wanted to know how he thinks. It was unfortunate that the Mennonite guy chewed me out for trying to know how the man thinks. to me, it didn't make any sense because as Christian, we need to make a team to win new souls in the kingdom of God. But my brother chewed me for talking. When I say my brother, you know what I mean. My brother in Christ chewed me for talking to a non-Christian about God, for doing my work. So, anyway, I keep living. And I work with another Mennonite man who many times we have some very good conversation, but there are times the conversation get too deep. There was a time I asked him, so what if the Lord would come to a preacher and tell the preacher, you know, my people need to get fed more. For this reason, you're not going to meet only on Sunday. It is important for you to meet on another day of the week. It doesn't have to be on Wednesday. It can be a Thursday. The man told me that preacher would have to leave the church, the conference. And he told me, you're not going to change the church. Inside of me, it made me mad. And one thing I want to tell you, I am not against conference. I'm not against church rules because I think a church somehow need to have some guidelines. Somehow. But I realize if we become a slave to the conference, if we become a slave to the rules of the church, if we want to walk only by the rules of the church, the rules of the church become a hindrance for the Holy Spirit to do his work. Now, I don't know how many preachers that I am talking to here. But it doesn't really matter. What I want to tell you, instead, yes, I'm okay with the rules. But instead of making your people walking by the rules in church, I think it's better to make sure that the heart of the church members are right. Because how many rules do you have? Let's say 100, which you may not even have. How many rules are in the Bible? How many rules are in your Christian life? Now, when you have 100, it's easy. I can do it. I can study the 100 rules and I obey them and I'm good to go. But what about when I find something that I need to do spiritually? It's not in the rules. You can't excommunicate me for not obeying it because it's not in the world. However, if my heart is right with God, if I am guided by the Holy Spirit is going to tell me, no, you can't do it, and I will have to obey. And if I don't obey later on, I will need to repent. So I think it is very important as Christians to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And these things are things that will happen through teachings. They will happen by trying to build relationship with the church members, by trying to have a closely brotherhood. So, I know that there came a time where there was a problem in my wife's family. Not really in my wife's family, but it had to do something with my wife's family. And I realized there is a man that I needed to talk. There is a man that told my brother-in-law something that really, at first it made me laugh, but when I really thought about it, I didn't get angry for what he said, but I realized that, you know, this man, his church need to know what he says. But when I got to a point, I knew, you know, I don't need to tell his church what he did. I need to call that man, even if he doesn't know me. So I grabbed my phone and I called that man. I say, I am John Harold. I'm married to Anita Hostetler. So I would like to meet you. He says, yeah, you can meet me. Oh, really? city. He wants to meet me. Okay, now I'm traveling by myself. It's scary going to meet somebody by yourself. And you know that man got angry at your brother-in-law. Okay, so I went there. And I wanted to be careful. So before I started my conversation, I say, I am going to pray since I'm the one who knows what I'm going to talk about. But when I'm done, you will pray. Oh, I think because of the way that I went about it, it made it a little easier because he probably realized that, you know, this man is serious with that. He means business here. Okay, so I was surprised to see how good of a conversation that we had. And I think I even thanked that man for being willing to sit down with me because that man is probably in his 70s. Later on, when I got home, I received a message from that man's son-in-law who was really happy that I talked to his father-in-law. Okay, so I guess it wasn't that bad. So later on, when people start knowing what was going on, you know, the Bible asks us to, one of the beatitudes is that we need to try to make people agree together. Later on, I received a phone call from a man that should have been happy for what I was doing. The man actually chewed me out for trying to fix a problem. And for some reason, I'm happy that I don't have to disclose the name so I don't get in more trouble. So these are the things that I realize. It is, yes, you're having a good culture. But I think it is important for you to know that your culture was formed by a group of Christian men who wanted to obey God. But this culture, in order for it to be the same, everybody who wants to be part of that culture, who wants to experience the true culture, need to, first of all, go to Jesus. Need to be a Christian. But unfortunately, it is so easy to just pass the culture without passing Jesus because you have to make a choice. So, Tim, may I have another 2 minutes? So, I want you to understand that you have a very good culture, but if you are not careful, it can stop you from finding what you need to find, which is Jesus. My culture, I can tell you, if I read the Bible carefully, I will know that my culture is an ungodly culture. But your culture is different. So while we're thinking about that, it is good to try to ask God to give you the opportunity not to be the slave of your culture, but to be his servant.